So just while I begin, I'm going to pass these out. I've got a present for absolutely everyone here today. Hooray. Don't open them yet. They're little envelopes. They've got a lovely little surprise in them.
Chocolate.
It's not chocolate. So my name's Andy. I'm part of the leadership here at Trinity. And you want me to turn around? Wrong slides. They're on the Dropbox. Don't worry too much about them. It's fine. There you go. So we're at in the middle of a series called Kingdom Parables. We believe that when Jesus came, he told us that the kingdom of heaven was at hand.
Amen.
He said that he came to preach, to tell people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. We believe that he taught us in Matthew 5 that we should seek first the kingdom. No, that's not what he taught in Matthew 5, but he did tell us to seek first the kingdom of God. Where's that in the Bible?
Matthew 6,
thank you. And in Matthew 6 as well is the Lord's Prayer, where he said that we should pray for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. The reason that we're doing this series is because we see Jesus, and we know that we're called in Matthew 10 to be his witnesses, his kingdom bringers. It says in Matthew 10 that we should go out into the field, go and proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. That's how we know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because we see the kingdom of heaven at hand, God working out powerfully amongst us. We're told in Matthew 28 that we should expect the authority to be on us because Jesus stands in all authority. The authority of the kingdom lives within each one of us.
Yeah.
And we need to know, actually, how to live out this kingdom life. How do we do that? How do we practically live out in a great expectation while we're living here? We can't see Jesus. We can't see God. We can't see what's going on all the time. And we have to know, how do we constantly live it out? And that's where Jesus comes to with the parables. So his parables are to teach his disciples and his people how to live out in a kingdom way. That's what the parables are all about. And Jesus says, actually, in Matthew 13, there's a passage where it says, why the disciples are like, why do you talk in parables all the time? Some people don't understand it. And Jesus says, yeah, some people won't understand it, but those who do understand it will put it into practice. That's what he says. It's prophesied in Isaiah. He talks about the prophecy in Isaiah where he says it will fall on deaf ears sometimes and people won't listen. People won't see it. But that's okay. I will teach this way because the people that grasp it, the people that understand it, the people that apply it to their lives will see my kingdom come into fruition. What Jesus did was this is what I want. I want to read this because I love what I wrote. He said, I was kind of impressed with myself. It's very basic, but I was just reading through Jesus's life. And it says this. So Jesus gives many signs of the kingdom being at hand. He walks on water, tells the storm to be still. He multiplies food. He heals the lepers, the blind, the deaf, the mute, the bleeding, the disabled. He raises the dead, he casts out demons, he forgives sins. He sets people completely free, giving them new life. That's when you know the kingdom is at hand. John the Baptist started to doubt it. So John the Baptist actually was the first one to pronounce that Jesus was coming and that he was here to pronounce the kingdom would be here. And he started to doubt it because he was in prison, he was in a bit of a rubbish place. And so he sent some followers to Jesus. And Jesus just said, okay, just follow me for a little while. Watch what's happening. And it says this in Luke 7. In that hour, Jesus healed many people of their diseases. Evil spirits were cast out. Many who were blind, he gave sight. He answered them, tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. The poor have the good news preached to them. We know the kingdom is at hand because it's prophesied that when the king comes, he will establish his kingdom. And he did. He came and established his kingdom. And Jesus said, look at the works I have done. Look at what I am doing. Look who's getting better all around me. Look, the good news of the kingdom is being preached. So good. I just want to give a couple of examples from my week because my spirit was lifted a bit this week. I chatted to Dave. Those of you who've been in the church a little while would remember Dave. I chatted to him on Monday. It was his birthday. And we had a good chat. He's doing really well over where he is. The church is flying. He's connecting him all over the world. It's just really exciting to hear what's happening. And at the end, I dared to ask a question. And the question was about his dad, because his dad's been really unwell. And before Christmas, they were talking about hospice care, so end-of-life care for him. And I was like, oh, do I want to ask this question? Everything else has been so positive. So I asked him the question, how's your dad? What's happening? And his report was, just after Christmas, my dad saw a doctor who really took him under his wing, and he's made a complete turnaround. And he's going out the house every day. He's going to church. He's living his life. And I just lifted my spirit. It's like, come on, God. I was praying, but I had almost given up. Do you know where you're at that point where you're like, okay, I'll pray for the family to be blessed because this isn't going well. But God is so good. He is so kind. He is so loving. He is so full of power. And he is able to do what we can only imagine him doing. He is able to do more than we're able to imagine him doing. And my spirit was just lifted, and I was like, praise God for good gifts. Amen. It was lifted again in another meeting, I think it was the week before. So I work for the council, and it's my job to work on universal credit. It gets a lot of bad press, and there is a lot of bad problems with it. But I got to arrange a meeting where I gathered housing benefit managers and universal credit managers in the borough. And we just got to discuss some of the issues. And it was just, it was really good. And in that meeting, there was only a few of us there, so we were discussing it. And we're like, one of the big problems with universal credit is people are still claiming housing benefit when they should be claiming universal credit. And then there's no way of sorting out back payment, so people are being made homeless because they're not getting the back payment for their rent. That's it in a nutshell. That's one of the problems of universal credit. So what we've done is we were looking at the redesign of the website, and something came into me in that meeting. Why don't we just put a button on our website, just separate these two pages and put a button there so that people are directed in the right direction. That way they should claim the right one, or they've got a better chance. And my spirit was just lifted. It's like, that is going to stop people having debt on their housing. That little idea is going to stop people from getting caught up in this cycle of having to fight and losing hope and, like, what is going on? Who understands the benefit system? Does anyone understand? I don't know, but the kingdom was at hand in that meeting. Amen. Just a little seed, a little idea. The kingdom was at hand in that meeting. And then another thing that lifted my spirit was Friday. We had a launch event, and I've got some photos in the next couple of slides. We gathered. So for new people, this building wasn't like this before. We've been extremely blessed. God has been very, very good to us. Barrett Holmes agreed to do it up for us, and it looks fantastic now. And we just had an event where we were celebrating the fact that this building had been done in this way. But just all the people that were there were the influential and the uninfluential in Barnet. And that's what we want in this place. And that's what we look for in this place. You know, the influential mixing with the people who don't have an influence, you know, that's the kingdom of God at work, you know, as we all connect and link and have bonds together. But we had the leader of the council. We had the CEO of the council, which are two different roles. We had the leader of the CAB. We had leaders of charities. We had some of the managers from Barnet Homes were in the room. Some, you know, there was people, there was a deputy mayoress, and all celebrating the work that's going on in this place, all celebrating the kingdom of God happening in this place. On the next slide is, I think, just three photos of just moments of kingdom celebration. So Duncan is a man that I love to celebrate. He's a fantastic warrior for Jesus. And he leads the church. He's the main leader of the church, if you're new here. But he just spoke fantastically well. And he just spoke and he told everyone in the room, this is what we're doing, this is how you connect in, this is the impact we're having in Barnet with the gospel, but also with all the projects that we're doing. In the background, he's got a little thing which says, in summary, this is what a subcommittee in the council said about this church. In summary, it is the social centre of the local community, Colindale and the surrounding area, and it is open to all. That's what the council think of us as a church. That's amazing, isn't it? This, Christina, we have to celebrate you. We don't see Christina much up the front here, and that's because she's released in the community. You know, all the people that are working, all those people that came in, they all knew Christina. Christina's badgered them, phone called them, she's built relationship with them. And they all came because they connect in with what Christina's leading and running, and she's connecting really widely with this community. And that's just something to say, we celebrate you, Christina, but we celebrate the fruit of that labour as well, and we celebrate what God is doing with it. And then the final one, and this is one that really lifted my spirit, because it's not just the big people coming to talk to present something. It's actually the people who this church is helping and are part of this church and are living it out. But just the breakthrough, Anna and Sarah and Michael is a guy who connects with the church through CAP and Food Bank. He doesn't actually come to church. But them saying what impact this church and the projects and the work that we do has had on their lives and the transformation in their lives. And it's just them stepping up is part of our vision to be courageous. Them stepping up and telling their stories is a courageous step for each and every one of them. And we need to celebrate them, we need to celebrate that. But God's kingdom is at hand. We are seeing God's kingdom at hand. I've shared a story that I have had personally. That's just a small thing. What are all of you doing? God's kingdom is at hand as we, as a body, gather and do what God has called us to do. God's kingdom is at hand. I'm going to read the verses that I was meant to be preaching on. So it's the parable of the sower, but actually it's about the soil. So we'll call it the parable of the soil. Okay, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. A great crowd gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, pushed out onto the lake a little bit. The whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. They grew up immediately, they sprang up, but they had no depth and no root. So when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. He who has ears, let him hear. Okay, I'd love you to open your little packages. Can anyone guess what they might be? There's only two in each, so be careful as you... I've got more. Got a handful. I want you to put them in your hands. I wrapped them really well.
Christmas must be fun.
Seeds. You see, does anyone know what kind of seed it is?
Sunflower
seeds. Don't eat them. No one eat them. I think you can eat them. And is there some different ones?
Yeah.
Oh, what are the different ones?
I don't know. One is bigger than the other.
Yeah. All right.
This one's dandelion.
their sunflowers as well. Oh, look at that. That's a good analogy, isn't it? They might look different. They might produce a different... Anyway. But in Jesus' day, they'd have seen the sower going out with a big basket, chucking out this seed. That's how they would have spread the seed in the field. And so they'd have seen it all over. And so this would be a common picture. And they'd understand that the sower would come and just scatter seed everywhere. Have you ever thought... I mean, I've spent a long time this week thinking about seeds. What? I want to have a competition. That's why I've given you all one. I want us to all plant our sunflower seeds.
Yeah.
And have a competition who can grow the best sunflower. Does anyone want to join me?
Yeah.
Anyone in? Yeah, good. So let's talk about what it actually means, this parable. Jesus says that the seed is the word of God. Have we got the next slide? And the next one. The seed is the word of God. And the next one. And in the seed there is life. There is life in the seed. There's another parable that Jesus teaches, which is recorded in Mark 4. And in it is about a farmer who plants something, plants a seed in the ground, and the Bible, it says that even though the farmer doesn't understand the physics or the biology, is it not physics? Not chemistry and biology, probably, of science. You're the head of a science department, I'll take that from you. He doesn't understand how the science works. He doesn't understand how the seed grows. But he knows there's life in a seed. He knows that if he plants it and he waters it, it will grow. There's life in a seed. In this seed, there is life. Scripture says, Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this, "For the word of God is a living and active word, sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the power to pierce through the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, discerning thoughts and intentions of the heart." This is the seed that God has given to us, a seed of life. This has life in it. It's living and active, powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Just like a seed, I might not understand how it's going to impact my life every time I read it, but I know that actually if I bury that in my heart and my soul, it will spring life. Why? Because there is life in the Word of God. There is life in the Kingdom Word. So the parable is actually about the soil. And I just want to teach you this. Jesus wasn't a fatalist. So Jesus didn't just expect that it's going to end in a specific way, so therefore it's just going to end that way. He told stories so that people had a choice. His listeners had a choice. The people of God, the people on the listening on the shore, they had a choice. What do I do with the word that Jesus speaks? And that's what this parable's all about. Do I bury this deep down in my heart? Do I allow it to root and grow? Do I create a good environment? Do I make sure I'm going to the presence of God? Do I make sure that I'm worshiping? Do I make sure that I'm taking hold of Scripture and meditating on it? Do I make sure that I'm living a life that isn't just too busy and too taken up by the things of the world to not think about the Word and allow the Word to take deep root in my soul? It's a choice. Jesus talks about four types of soil, which is on the next slide. It talks about the path. Sometimes when the The seed was sown, it would fall on the path. Now the path had been trodden down, it was hard, the root couldn't come down. And it talks about the birds coming down and taking the seed and flying off, because it doesn't have chance to hide itself in the soil, to protect itself in the soil. There is a hardness to that path. When you hear the words that we've sang today, is there a hardness about you in your heart? Are you here and it's just going to bounce off you, bounce off you, bounce off you? The love of God, the song that we finished on, his love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out. Are you allowing that to take a root in your heart? The preach that Clive did the other week about forgiveness, the message of forgiveness and the unforgiving servant, are you allowing that to just bounce off you? I don't have anyone to need to forgive. I've been forgiven, fantastic, but I don't need to forgive others. Nothing like that. Oh yeah, that person, I don't like them. But they don't need forgiveness, you know. That's just over there, they're over there, don't deal with that. Is it just bouncing off you? Am I chucking at you and it bouncing off you like that? I think she's checking her email, that's why I did that. The second one is rocky ground. And in what I think this means is that there's a shallow level of soil. So as you come away from the path, there's a shallow level of soil, and then underneath the shallow level of soil, there's a hard, rocky path underneath it. And so the roots can go down a little bit, but they can't go deep down. So the question is, are you, the words of the kingdom, are you allowing them to go down a little bit? Are you living a life as a Christian on the outside? Are you showing yourself to be a Christian? Are you showing yourself to the world to love Jesus and to really care? And to, you know, I'm doing the good works. It's the outward focus. I'm looking after the poor. I'm looking after my neighbor. Very, very important stuff. But is the word of God just on the outside? And then when the trouble of life comes, when you lose your job or when you become ill, when that root isn't deep inside of you, the word will just be snatched away. It will just die. It will just go, because bitterness will replace it, because there's a hardness there. You're not allowing the word of God to root down deep in your heart. Are you... When you have a hard time, what do? Do you run to scripture or do you run away from it? That's a sign of whether you're rooting yourself, the word of God. Is there the words that are rooted down in you? Psalm 23, there's just things, people earlier, but the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's verses I often go to when I'm not in the best place. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He puts me at a table in front of my enemies. Do you know, in no other place, when we die and go to heaven, we won't have to worship in the presence of our enemies. But here, you have to make that choice. You have to make that choice. I will worship in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of the woes of life, I will worship. Because the word of God roots itself down deep in your soul, deep in your heart. This can be, I was thinking about this as well, and it can be as well culture. Do you know, the things our culture teaches us can be so hard in us. You know, education and the way that we think, the way that we do things, you know, it's all good stuff, but it can become quite a hardened level, because we're the educated society, we're the wise ones, the clever ones. We've achieved a lot in the UK. And I think that can create a hardness. It can create a shallowness of soil which is soft enough for me to be changed and transformed by God. Because the root won't go down into that rocky place. That's just a thought I had. And so when culture comes along and says, no, that's wrong, then we quickly get rid of the word of God because the society is saying this. The third is thorns. We can have sunflowers all over here. The third one is thorns. And Jesus says this is about the cares and the worries of wealth in this life. Are we worshipping Jesus on a Sunday and then the rest of the week worshipping wealth and making money and doing this and doing that? And, you know, is your worship of something that will actually strangle you and kill you? It will get into your flesh. Jesus says you can't serve both God and money. What is your worship of? And again, that comes when you come to a hard time. Are you worshipping God or money? God or money, God or money, God or money, God or money. That's often a competition in London. London's a really, as I said, I work in benefits. I know there's a huge struggle in London, especially when it comes to housing and all of those problems. But our worship has to be Jesus. Jesus, you have won me. I am forgiven. I stand here at the foot of the cross. Let the message of the gospel take root in your heart. Jesus, you have won me. That means all the wealth of this world would not compare to knowing you. Jesus, you have won me. Jesus, you've paid the price for me. Jesus, you are glorious and amazing and incredible. And the final one is good soil. Now, who's ever grown a sunflower before? Yeah? Any hints and tips for the rest of us? Put it in the sun. Water it.
Pray.
Huh? Pray. Let's get spiritual. Put it in a big pot. Because they get really tall. You want a lot of soil in it. They need good stability. They need good soil. When they get tall, you put a stake in the ground and tie it up. That's hints and tips for everyone entering my competition. Okay? Yeah. Don't tell me I didn't try and help you. I'm trying to help you. But with all of those things, look at all the practical things you can do. Even if you don't understand how the seed grows, you can do all these practical things around it to make sure that the seed is in the best environment to grow. And that's the same with the Word of God. How do I make sure I'm in the best environment in order to make the Word of God grow deeply in me? One final point that I have, and it's quite a big point. So I'm sorry it's 12, but patience. There's a common thing, and I've heard this by a number of people recently. Francis of Assisi is quoted as saying, does anyone know the quote I'm going to say? Yeah? Preach the gospel, and if you need to, use words. Nonsense. It's nonsense in the fact that Francis of Assisi never said it. It's not. He didn't say it. It wasn't out there. It's nonsense in the fact that actually it's not biblical that we don't have to use words. There is life and death in words. In the power of the tongue, there's life and death. Romans 10, how do people hear it if we're not going to say it? The people need a preacher to hear the gospel. And the preacher isn't just the person on a Sunday. A preacher is a person who knows the gospel, who will share the gospel. There is power in words. Just before Christmas, there was a girl working in my team, and she was leaving the team because she'd had a bit of a tough time. There was some tough stuff at work going on. And one day I just met with her, and we just spent the time talking. And she was a Catholic, but didn't really understand the gospel. But I got to share the love of God with her, the love of the Father, and she was in tears, in honesty. She was touched by it. She was in tears by it. The gospel is powerful to transform it. It's powerful when you realize that God is this loving and kind God. To realize that he loves me so much that he'd die on a cross for me. That it's not about me working my way into his presence, but it's about him coming down to me, to rescue me, to save me, to speak life into me, to put a heart of flesh in me instead of a heart of stone. We have the gospel, which is life to this world. It's a life-giving message. And that doesn't always mean that you have to preach the gospel as in life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ every time you speak to someone. But when you speak to people, use the words of the kingdom. Encourage people. There was someone on Friday in my team who's leaving because we're restructuring. It's not great, but she's leaving, and it's really sad that she's going. But I just got to share and encourage her and say, you know what, you brought stability to this team. You brought love to this team. You gave us a passion to reach out more and to the people on Universal Credit. And I'm so grateful that you've been in my team. That's a word of the kingdom of God, right there. And she just, some people don't know how to take it. You know, they go, oh, yeah. Don't let that discourage you. But just speak words of life into people. And that's not to downplay the works that we do, the good works that we do. We're called and created. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says we have works created for us to do before we were even born. So I'm not downplaying works. I'm just saying words. Words with your friends. Words with your family. Have the braveness just to speak gospel life in. And don't think that there's anyone who's too hard to reach. And even if they are too hard to reach, still preach the gospel. Even if you think this isn't going to happen. There's a story in Moses, when Moses is doing all the plagues and stuff. You know that one? Does everyone remember that? Where the Egyptians are being taken out. And there's a bit where it says, just in the midst of a writing, it talks about how there were Egyptians who were following the words of what Moses was saying to the Israelites because they were scared because the kingdom of God was coming in a way they didn't like. The kingdom was being preached to them. And the Egyptians, you never know who your words are impacting. Your words might not impact the person that you said directly to, but it'll impact the person, your team, it'll impact the people around you. Just speak life. There's life and death in the power of the words that we speak. And we get the opportunity to spread seeds into their life. You know, you never know how colleagues are feeling. You never know how family are feeling. You can plant this seed in their life. I know that before I came to faith at 19, many seeds were sown in my life that came into fruition much later. I'm sure we all have that same story. Many seeds were sown in us, which came into fruition later. Be a sower. Be a sower. I'm going to invite the band up. But I'd like to pray for people. The people I'd like to pray for most specifically is people who have a Bible, but when they open it, it's like dead words on a page to them. There's no life in the words. When they read it, they can't root it down. They're like, oh, this is all well and good, but how do I do that? What do I do? In Ezekiel 36, God says, I will take away your heart of stone and I will replace it with a heart of flesh. Talking about the new covenant. I will put my spirit upon you. And I would like to pray for God's spirit and anointing on anyone who would like to get more from their Bible reading. And so just as the band begin to play, I'd like you to respond. If there's anyone in here who has sat with a Bible in front of them and they can't, and it might be a different season for you, it might be in the past I've been able to, but recently I've just not been able to get into my word. It's not speaking to me. God is always speaking, so. If there is anyone, can I ask you to just put your hand up? If there's anyone around them, can I just ask them to lay a hand on them? And we're just going to say, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're at work in this place. Thank you that you're at work in your people, in your children. I pray for your Spirit to be poured upon these people. I pray that your living and active word will be jumping off the page to them, Lord Jesus. I pray that your voice would be really powerful in their ears. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and anoint these people, Lord Jesus. Come and anoint us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that seeds would sprout up, Lord Jesus. New life would sprout up in Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.